are the different legal requirements we'd be looking at if a board created a law enforcement unit and then pursued an investigation? Right now, I understand that if we pursue an investigation for potential bullying, all of that information are protected student records.
Okay.
How is that different for the law enforcement unit, and what do we need to be concerned with if we were interested in that?
Yeah, excellent question. The law enforcement unit is it's a little bit of a misleading term, right? It almost sounds like you're deputizing folks, and that's not what the term actually means. What we're trying to do in New Jersey by having this option is to say we're going to make it easier for school districts to share some limited information with law enforcement. And it's information that's targeted to student safety. So, for example, if you had video cameras on a school bus and there is something that occurs on that bus that potentially could be an issue where there's a potential criminal violation, you could share that information with law enforcement to assist them in their investigation of the potential criminal issue. If you had some other types of sign-in logs, where kids are required and adults are required to sign in order to get into a school, which I'm sure you have, that would be information that could be readily shared with law enforcement if you had a legitimate law enforcement reason to share that information. So it's intended to try to make it a little easier to have information sharing going back and forth. It's not intended for the law enforcement unit to become police officers and to conduct police investigations. If a school district were to call law enforcement and ask them to walk through an investigation and to tell them what to do every step of the way, in effect, the school district would become an agent of law enforcement, and you would have to comply with all the standards that law enforcement has to comply with as far as probable cause. So I don't think there's any real danger here, as long as it's clearly understood what the function of that unit is. It's just to make it a little more seamless to have some information sharing to try to protect student safety. I would encourage, though, if you decide to go that route, that it be something that is formally done at the board level, so there's no question whether you've decided to do this or not.
And then we would have to clearly spell out what it is that we intend in the policy to follow along with that, so
yes,
we wouldn't get into a gray situation.
Yeah, it should not be a gray situation, and the statute that permits this is very clear on what the intent here. And it gives a number of examples of the types of information sharing that it allows.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions?
Yes.
Yes. Great.
Tangential. In here, your statewide data states there's 35,000 incidents reported. What time period is that?
That was over the course of 1 year. We had 35,000 alleged incidents.
Has any investigation or data been identified as to what it takes as far as administrative responsibilities time-wise to conduct these investigations?
Yes, I did not bring that data with us. Actually, the New Jersey Principals and Supervisors Association has tried to gather information. So we sent out a survey to all of our members. We have over 7,000 school administrators who are members of our association to try to gauge the impact of this law. And it has taken a significant amount of time of administrators and anti-bullying specialists. And even though it's all for the right intentions, there are some other functions that we're not able to get to as well as we could have. So, for example, guidance counselors, who in many cases are now our anti-bullying specialists, are spending less time counseling kids because they have to spend time doing these investigations. That is a challenge in the law. Part of the law is that we should have state funding to implement this law. So the brave little Alamuchi School District was willing to come forward and challenge this law and was successful in saying that we needed to have some funding to support it. They won their case, and the state of New Jersey designated $1 million because of that. So you probably got $1,000 or some very small amount of money out of that challenge.
So there's one investigation.
There was one investigation. So there is, though, the potential that a school district could choose to raise a challenge about the adequacy of funding that's available for this. There's never enough money, I know that, but I do think it's pretty clear that we don't have adequate resources to help school districts do this properly. And districts are still doing it properly, but it is at a cost. You know, you have a finite budget, you have limited resources, and something has to go in order for folks to spend the time they need. That's why, over time, the school safety team is the most important part of this law. What you want is less bullying in the first place. You want an environment that's conducive to learning where we don't have to have a large number of investigations. And I think that's already started to pay off. We don't have as many incidents as we had in the first year.
Mr. Ash, could I impose on you to answer two more questions?
Sure.
Are there any board members who haven't had an opportunity to ask a question that would like
just
to?
Just one quick one. Would you be able to share that data with us?
Yes. Yes.
Could you send it to Dr.
Yeah,
Clark?
I'll be happy to do that. So we'll share the information from the survey. It was a very interesting survey about the impact this law has had statewide.
Thank you.
Mark, did you have a question? Rachel?
No, good.
Anybody else? Thank you very much, Mr. Nash. I appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here, and I really appreciate the chance to talk about this important issue. So thank
very
you.
Very helpful. Thank you very
thank
much.
You very much.
Thank you. Mrs. Hammond, do you have anything on the back end? That? Yeah.
I don't really, but I just want to let the board know that if you go to our district website, there is a plethora of HIB resources on there. We add to it as we get updated, so there's some information David's just given me, which we will be adding to it, but I just want to let you know that anything that parents need is right on our website, so we are up to date with that. So if you have any questions specifically, I'll answer them specific to our district.
I just had a comment. I'm familiar with some of the HIB training we do, primarily from being a board member, but I've also seen the parent universities. I've seen the area on our website where we address HIB information. But I'm also aware that there's still a lot of families out there in the district that still are not familiar with what the HIB laws entail and how they affect school policy. So I guess I'm just trying to communicate to you, Dr. Clark, and maybe Mrs. Grant on communications. I think we still need to continue to push information out and maybe steer people toward the website just so that they know that the information is there and where to find it. Because I do hear questions still regularly, well, what is HIB and how is it defined? You know, as recently as this week, I've had a couple of questions posed to me about where do you find information about HIB.
I think that with the parent universities, I'd be more than willing to do them again. It might be a time to put something on the website where people can go and listen to a presentation as opposed to actually going in person. My understanding is if you present it, some will come. And if it's 2 or 10 or 50, that's great. Just get the message out there. So be more than willing to do that. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. What if we... I know the principals send out Friday updates and information to the parents. What if in your next Friday update, you just remind parents of where they can find that information on our website so that they have a place to go where they can look for it?
Certainly we can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that was... President's comments and report. And moving on, we're going to move on to the report of the Superintendent of Schools. Dr. Clark.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming tonight. And Mr. Nash, thank you. We love having you all the time. By the way, we had the administrators had training on HIV by Mr. Nash. So that we could learn more, and we also got a discount on our insurance for taking that training. So it's very important that we all have this. And it also saves the district some additional monies, which is always nice. right in time for that, let me give you some enrollment reports. Suspension and HIB reporting. Enrollment report, there's no significant change. We're at 1612. Suspension report, we did have a one-week suspension from a bus at Round Valley School. We had a number of HIB reports. We had three investigations at the middle school, all determined not to be HIB. We had two investigations at Round Valley, one determined to be HIB. We had three investigations at Patrick McGarren, all determined not to be HIB, and two investigations at Spruce Run, all determined not to be HIB. Thank you.
We have two action items to move under the superintendent's report. It's SU-009 and SU-10, seeking a motion.
So moved.
By Kevin, and a second?
Second.
By Marie Wright. How do you want to do this tonight, Mrs. Spitzer? Do you want me to ask to move for the roll call vote, or you just want to roll into? Okay.
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brandt?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes motion carries.
Moving on, we enter our first public comment section. This section is for agenda items only. If anyone from the public would like to speak to the Board of Education on agenda items, this is your first opportunity. Please approach the mic, tell us your name and where you live, and try to limit your comments to 3 minutes. Anybody for agenda items? Seeing nobody at this time, we'll move on to the first recognition of the public. This is an opportunity for anyone in the public to speak to the Board of Education on any matter. It doesn't have to be on the agenda. Again, if you'd like to speak, please approach the mic, tell us your name and where you live, and try to restrict your comments to 3 minutes if you can.
Hello, Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. I don't know if I'm losing or gaining my voice. But I actually had two items I want to talk about. One is an agenda and one was not. So I wanted to talk about, facility and finance number 107. It's about the preschool admission price. And I understand having to up it. I think that 25% is a bit drastic, but I understand the need for extra, but I was wondering if you guys would consider maybe for other parents like me, if you have more than one kid in the actual preschool, maybe 10, 15, like I know it's not a lot, but it makes a difference when you're sending two of them to school or more. I have some people, friends who have triplets, so just something to consider if you guys would consider that, because you'll still make the same amount you were making previously, but it would sort of extend like an olive branch to those parents who you would only be hitting parents that have very close in age or twins or triplets or whatever.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Byrne.
Thank you. And my other item was about full-day kindergarten. I know last year it got tabled because of the budget and all that other stuff, and I just wanted to not revisit, but just maybe just put it back in the spin of, I missed the budget meeting. It was my daughter's birthdays, so I couldn't make it. But I wanted to put that out there because I know a lot of parents who are truly interested in it, and I feel it benefits the kids, you know, whether it's worth it to take the plunge with the first year being the most expensive, but after that it'll kind of pay for itself almost. I know a lot of people would appreciate it, and it would help them.
Thank you very much. Does anyone else have any comments on any issue, any topic? Okay, seeing none, we're going to move on to the report of the school business administrator, Mrs. Spitzer.
Currently, we're all very active in the budgeting process in the district and as well as the Board of Education. Mr. Malloy will give you an update on his report coming out of committee. Our next Board of Education meeting will be held here on March 4th, which is next Monday. The purpose of the meeting is to adopt the tentative budget to submit to the county office for approval. After that, our following board meeting will be on the 25th of March at this time for our next regularly scheduled board meeting.
We have one action item under the School Business Administrator's Report. It's BA-026. It's adoption of meeting minutes and executive session minutes. I'm seeking a motion for BA-026.
Moved. So moved.
By Maria. And a second?
Second.
By Michelle.
Ms. Presti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes, but I'm going to abstain on the executive session minutes for January 28th, as I did not attend that session.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Mr. Sturgis, may I ask a question before we go to committee reports?
Sure.
When do we think that we would have the tentative budget information out to the board?
We're going to be discussing that in my committee report, Michelle.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Moving on to committee reports, facilities and finance. Kevin Malloy, could you please give us your report of your activities?
Thanks, Kevin. Well, as the calendar would indicate, February is a very busy month for facilities and finance. The committee met twice since our last public meeting in January. That excludes, of course, the budget workshop that was held on February the 11th. We've been discussing several items. First and foremost, the formulation of the 2013-14 tentative budget. We do expect, hopefully, to provide tentative budget data tomorrow. One of the reasons that we are not able to provide it earlier is, as was previously mentioned by Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer, the state has delayed funding announcements for state aid. There is a press conference, I believe, at 11 a.m. tomorrow, at which Governor Christie will give sort of an outlook on state aid, but that in and of itself is not the date by which we will get it. The state has 48 hours to comply. We will, however, following up that press conference, provide at least some tentative numbers to the board to allow for questions regarding the tentative budget. I would encourage all board members with questions about the document to be released, refer them to me. I'd be more than happy to walk through where we are on that. As a part of the budgeting process, we've been getting feedback from the Policy and Curriculum Committee related to staffing, professional development, curriculum needs for the coming year. As well as was outlined fairly well in a presentation by Bobby Philippe and Jason Weber last week. We were working with our architect on some of the more pressing high-level items regarding facilities upgrades to security. We have been talking about other items, including the Work Family Connection RFP. We are going to be going to RFP on that. We were talking about upping the tuition for preschool. There is an action item, as Lana Brennan pointed out, to do that. We were talking and have worked on effective bidding out of transportation services, and we do believe that there are some, at least preliminarily, some good news to report. That good news should be in the preliminary budget discussion documents that we will send out after the press conference tomorrow. Some of the other items that we have talked about are related to, as I said, professional development, delays in Trenton, enrollment trends, and staffing related to budgeting. Say again? Did somebody? I'm sorry. I thought I heard somebody. Oh, okay. Good. excuse me. So with that in mind, the Facilities and Finance Committee is moving 14 action items this evening. Action items FF095 through FF108. I'd like to enter these items. I'd like to move them now for consideration.
So moved.
Do we have any?
Second.
Okay. So
move by everybody for discussion.
I'll go first. I have a question, and this question might be directed towards Vito as much as anybody else. Mrs. Brennan raised an interesting point regarding the tuition increases. Is it possible for us to actually move item 107 and still consider, after approving this item, amending the tuition for multiple children? I think it is an item that should bear some discussion.
Yes, for two reasons. Number one, the board can always act to amend a previous action of the board. And second, based upon the language of item 107, it doesn't take effect to the 13-14 school year. So you have both the time and the ability to do that if you so choose.
Great. Thank you.
Could we get clarification on 108, please?
Excuse me. I forgot to mention 108.
Thank you.
And Heather, walk through where I stray. So action item 108 is an appropriation of $139,000 in extraordinary aid for the 11-12 year that we have made the decision to appropriate now to apply to safety and security for grounds. The reason being for the appropriation now is the failure to appropriate puts that money potentially at risk from being pulled back by the state if not appropriated, and the appropriation of those funds has no bearing on our taxable base and levy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I apologize. I probably should have put that in my comments at the beginning.
So, Kevin, those funds that you're referring to there come from the state to the school district?
It was an extraordinary aid allocation that was received in the 11-12 year. There is a finite window of time with items like this to make the appropriation. The committee and Heather made a decision that this is probably the time to do them, especially given the report of the architect.
Got it. Thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up? So at some point, are we going to get a report out of how that money was spent in terms of school safety?
No, of course not. Yes, of course. Yes, in fact, the budget docs will contain, and obviously the architect's report and the items in the budget workshop that we laid out did lay that out. But Heather, I don't want to overstep your work duties, but yes, we can certainly provide an accounting for how that money was appropriated towards the building security needs. As we talked about in our budget workshop, there are quite a few things that our architect of record did consider what we would call tier one items.
Great, thanks.
You're welcome.
Kevin, could you clarify a little bit? You said that if we did not appropriate it now, what would happen to it?
We run the risk of that aid being taken back.
So we can either appropriate it for this year's expenses or we would apply it to next year's expenses, but if we applied it to next year's expenses, we run the risk that we could lose it.
I believe that's correct. Heather, can you elaborate?
Well, one of the concerns that we have, given the existing state of the New Jersey, if you will, and the information that we have received to date, as limited as it is from Trenton, is that potentially we will see a cut in our state aid. In addition to that, there's also been conversation that potentially, if you remember a few years ago, we had a mid-year cut in our existing state aid in the current budget. One of the things that was eliminated were those unappropriated prior year aids. So one of the reasons we made this recommendation to, or had this conversation with the committee, is that potentially if we do not appropriate it, they may reduce our existing state aid by that amount, which has been something that they trended in the past. What that means then, if we have appropriated it, it's part of our existing budget, whether we spend it in the current year or not. If we don't spend it in the current year, we have potential to apply it in next year's budget. If we don't appropriate it and they take it, we don't no longer have that option to either use it in this year's budget or appropriate it or give it back in next year's budget.
Now, Ms. Spitzer, this extraordinary aid is money we've already expended and paid, right? But in the sense that
correct.
The state
in 11-12.
Has reimbursed us for monies we've already spent.
That is correct.
So it's monies above the $40,000 per child that we spend.
Correct.
So this is just a reimbursement. It's money we're owed.
Exactly. Basically, what the extraordinary aid calculation does, and it does it delayed, that's the reason why it tends to cross over more than 1 year, and that's why it's very confusing, is that extraordinary aid is reimbursed for monies spent in the prior budget. So the extraordinary aid that we're appropriating, this $139,000, is the balance that we had not appropriated for money expended in the 2011-2012 budget. So they give us approximately, they give us the information in approximately May or June on what that reimbursement is going to be. We're required by law to book it as revenue in that year, and they allow it to be applied in the prior year as an appropriation if needed, outside of the audit and surplus calculation. So it is a refund for expenditures spent on special education services for students in district where we expend over $40,000 and out of district is $50,000. And there's a percentage of that if they fund the formula. There's always a risk that they won't fund the formula.
You know, and forgive me, I'm obviously relatively new at this committee chair reporting thing, but there was something regarding state aid that we didn't discuss. But given current circumstances economically, given Hurricane Sandy, given now the potential threat of cuts due to federal sequestration, one of the reasons that we don't have a tentative budget document to put before the board is we have a pretty strong suspicion that our state aid is going to be cut. So I don't think I'm surprising anyone in this room or at this board table, but once we really need to get our arms around what our state aid is going to be before we can sort of figure out the rest of the stuff. So it's pretty much that's pretty much the last piece before we can provide a document. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on 095 through 108. Any other questions from the board on facilities and finance?
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
And this motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to the committee report for personnel and negotiations, Dan McTiernan.
Yes, at this meeting we'll be putting forth items 13 PN 159 through 171 for approval. Would like to draw everyone's attention to PN 168. PN 168 comes about from a discussion in regards to the work burdens in regards to school nurses, and what we're doing is authorizing the administration, when appropriate and required, is to be able to pay a more labor-sensitive rate to nurses that are coming in to relieve our existing school nurses. So in that regard, we are looking carefully at that. There's a mixed amount of approvals right now among the different schools in Clinton Township. We're not going to be the highest by any means whatsoever, but we do need to have a little bit of flexibility in that pay rate there, so we're authorizing that for the administration. Additionally, not an item to be approved, but we were approached, as we mentioned in the last meeting, by the CTEA, to begin negotiations in regards to our contracts. Those negotiations, I want to let you know, have begun. I believe that both of us would come to the same conclusion that it was a very positive first meeting. Four additional meetings dates have been set up. We'll not, of course, be giving you a full debriefing on each one of those meetings as they take place, but I would alert the board that we'll probably have more executive sessions at the end of board meetings as we go into negotiations. And we, of course, are very optimistic in hoping that we can come to an agreement by the end of the current contract, which would be June of this year. Any questions? So, any additions?
Well, first, Dan, we would have to get a motion and a second, and then we can have discussion.
Oh, good.
So, with the completion of the report, we're seeking a motion to move PN 159 through PN 171.
So moved.
By Kevin Malloy.
Second.
By Michelle. Perfect. Okay. Any discussion on the PN action items?
Quick question on 171. We've got a new part-time TA at SRS. Is that filling a vacancy, or is that an additional spot due to enrollment?
It's a student-related ad.
Okay.
Any other board member questions on 159 through 171?
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to policy and curriculum. Rachel McLaughlin, would you please give us the report of the activities of your committee?
The Policy and Curriculum Committee met for the second time since the last public board meeting on February 13th, and we had another fairly long three-hour meeting. We can't seem to cut them down. I don't know why. We spent a lot of time talking about the budget and making some recommendations for next year. We also talked about what types of things we could do this year in preparation for next year, considering that there are a lot of changes to the Common Core curriculum standards. So one thing that we're making a recommendation on tonight that you'll see on the agenda is to purchase Go Math materials for kindergarten and first grade. We have money left in our budget for that. Second through fifth grade already has those materials, so we'll standardize the materials from kindergarten all the way up to fifth grade. In addition, we talked about some curricular issues such as the purchasing of fifth grade social studies textbooks. The board has already prior to approved this money, but we now have chosen a series that the teachers will be able to use. And we spent a lot of time talking about different aspects of teaching the curriculum this year, scheduling issues, some issues with transitioning between schools. The principals are going to be putting in some new transition nights for parents as they transition from grade to grade and school to school. And we made a series of recommendations to the Facilities and Finance Committee for the budget for next year, including additional money for professional development. We also, tonight you're going to see on the agenda, we're going to be approving some field trips. The board has asked that the schools, as they're starting to think about their field trips, try to make some kind of curricular connection to the trips that they're going on. So all of the trips that you see tonight on the agenda have some type of connection, whether it be science or mathematics, to the curriculum. Tonight we're also going to be moving policies for second readings. All of you should have received those policies, and I didn't receive any feedback or comments. So if you have any additional questions when I move the items, please bring them up. With that being said, I'd like to move action item 13PC026 through 13PC028.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on PNC action items 26 through 28?
One quick question on the field trips for the fourth graders. The Iron Pigs, is that the baseball team?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
There's some statistics involved, I'm told.
Okay. I would never turn down the chance for the kids to go to the ball game.
Geometry.
Just wondering, we're going to do some sabermetrics, some Bill James stuff at the game.
Writing and statistics.
That's pretty cool. Okay. Just checking.
I have a question for Dr. Clark. As Rachel mentioned, some things that you're exploring as far as changes in transition and communicating that to parents in evening sessions and changes in schedules. Will you be at some point in time communicating that to parents, some changes we'll be making in the district?
Yes. Yes, we've already started that. But, yes, the principals are picking the nights. It's, I think, the night before. Am I right about this? It's mostly going to be the night before the move-up day for that grade level.
Okay.
So the parents will have that information. The principals are sending that out.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional comments for policy and curriculum?
Ms. Cresty?
I'm staying on PC026 and yes, it's 27 and 28.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yep.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to communications. Maria Grant, as the chair, can you update us on the activities of your committee?
Sure.
Maria?
I do not have any actions to move this evening. The communications committee will meet this week. We will be very busy putting together a series of communications and documentation for release to the staff and to the community on the budget. We are going to try to break down that communication into what the process was that we went through to develop the budget, the components of the budget,
areas of savings, areas of potential increases. We're going to put that all in a different series, make it available to the public through a variety of means, websites and email blasts, and try to put flyers in high trafficked areas of public places in the community so that we can get information out regarding the budget. So we'll be very busy over the next week and a half as Facilities and Finance finalizes the budget, of getting that information put together so in a very timely way we can get that out to people in the community. We'll also be working on getting that questionnaire up and running. The goal is by March 6th to get it up and running for to get some information from the community on what they would like to see in the Clinton Township newsletter as far as categories of information. So that will go online, and there are a series of press releases to go out to the press to help people understand that that's available and how to access it. In addition, letters to the staff and the parents, and we'll use other means and mechanisms to reach folks that do not have children in the district to let them know as well. That we will be seeking their input into if they even want any changes into the Clinton Township newsletter. And we'll work a little bit on the website a little bit, getting some more information and more feedback now that there have been some changes and alterations since September on the website. We'll be reaching out, creating a focus group to get some feedback on that. So we'll be busy in the next couple few weeks. That's my report.
Thank you. Do any board members have any comments relating to communications? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to old business. Do any board members have any old business to address to the board? No old business tonight. We'll move on to new business. Does anybody have any new business to bring up to the board?
I have a...
Go ahead. You go first.
I just have an inquiry from Mr. Gagliardi. Regarding meeting minutes, how would you advise the board, in your opinion, to vote on meeting minutes if we're not present at the previous meeting? Would you advise to say yes? Would you advise to say no? Would you advise to abstain?
I know the common practice is for board members to abstain,
right,
but there's no such requirement.
Okay.
That's just a common practice. If you believe the meeting minutes to be accurate, you should vote in favor of them. And if you believe them to be inaccurate, you should vote against them. And if you don't know, I guess it's a legitimate reason to abstain. So there is absolutely no requirement whatsoever that you abstain if you weren't at the meeting. And this comes up from time to time when boards of education are behind. And let's say there's a change on the board, three or four new board members, and oh my goodness, we don't have a quorum to approve board meetings. That's a myth. If you believe the meeting minutes to be accurate, you can vote in favor of them whether you were physically present for the meeting or not.
Okay. So even though you're not there, you can still believe that they were correct. It's been hard to – I guess it's hard to say yes to something when you're not there. You know, so as board members, how would – you know, is there advice or would it be – I know there's no legal opinion, but, you know, just I want to make sure that we as a board understand what the recommendation – if there is a recommendation, how to vote – when we're not present at a meeting, and then the minutes come up at the next meeting.
I appreciate that. I'm not this sort of question, because there is no hard or fast rule. It depends very specifically on the conscience and viewpoint of a particular board member, not unlike the question asked of Mr. Nash, when should we abstain from an HIV hearing? Well, there are only a handful of times when you have to abstain, and the rest depends upon your comfort level. I'll give you an example. The meeting minutes of your budget hearing. God bless Heather, but Charles Dickens couldn't make those meeting minutes interesting or detailed. They're probably going to be a page at best. I would imagine there's going to be this, you know, budget was presented, comments were had, members of the public were awoken, and the meeting was adjourned. I think if I were sitting as a board member, I would be very comfortable voting on those minutes if I wasn't here. Obviously, if you had a four or five hour board meeting with several contentious issues being discussed and you weren't present, and there was a lot of interaction with the public, I think there'd be much less comfort voting on those meeting minutes if you weren't present, because it's possible you wouldn't agree with what was captured and what was left out.
Okay.
So I wish there was a hard or fast rule, but there isn't. I do not, however, subscribe to the myth that simply because you're not present, you have no way of evaluating whether or not the minutes are appropriate to approve and release to the public.
Okay. So it's a matter of personal preference.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I respect that. Thank you.
I have some new business. I talked about this issue in our committee meeting, but I wanted to make the board aware of it. One of the things that I've noticed is that when we get the monthly enrollments that have the homeroom teachers, that the teachers are only listed if they're the general education teacher. And as a board, we adopted a philosophy of co-teaching where some of the classes have two teachers. And I feel very strongly that those two teachers need to be recognized. So one of the things that we had talked about in our committee meeting was finding ways as a board that we can begin to recognize the staff members in the classroom that are working with our students. Some of them are small changes, things like adding both names to the homeroom list, putting both names on the report cards. But these are things that our committee felt were worthy and things that we should be as a board adopting and paying attention to. And I think if we start to make those small changes at a board level, that will hopefully trickle down to the school community and everybody will be recognized and parents will be aware that when they walk into a co-teaching classroom, that there are two teachers and those two teachers work with all the students. They're not the helper teacher. They're not the extra teacher. They're the teacher in the class. So this is something that I personally feel strongly about. I've noticed in the community when I'm at a game, people will come up to me and say, oh, who's that teacher? Is that the helper teacher in your class? So I think it's a message that since we've adopted co-teaching and we feel very strongly that this is one of the ways that we're going to be educating our students, I think it's very important as a board that we recognize all the teachers in this capacity. Thanks.
I agree. Thank you for recognizing that and bringing it up. I think everyone on the board, you know, our philosophy is we do appreciate and value all of the employees in the district, no matter what position they hold. And I think it's kind of an evolution. You know, we're trying to find best practices in dealing with the new methods of teaching that have come about. And I think we can find ways to recognize everybody, make sure that everybody is known to the parents, known to the children, and treated as an equal. So from a board philosophy, my philosophy is, you know, we would like to make sure that everybody knows that they're valued. And if we can find ways in communication, in directories, I know that we have some technology challenges with how we access report cards and IEPs, and we're going to look to see what we can do there to make sure that all staff are recognized equally. Is there any additional new business from any member of the board?
Can I just make a comment? I would just like to add that there was a wonderful event in our schools this week where we named our Teachers of the Year. And it was a great pleasure to be at the meeting with teachers and parents talking and administrators talking about our wonderful staff and reading letters that were written about them and trying to make a decision about who was the person we would choose, which was no easy task. With the amount of wonderful writing that parents and staff members did. And the administrators spoke so glowingly about their teachers. It actually brought, you know, that little lump in your throat where you just feel like, wow, it's just a wonderful place to be. And I was so proud to be superintendent here, listening to our administrators and parents talk about our teaching staff. So it was one of those wonderful hours that you spend as a school superintendent, and you don't get a lot of those moments. So I'm going to hold on to it and treasure it. And I congratulate the teachers who were named Teachers of the Year. It's a wonderful honor. However, I sent a note to all our staff today saying how proud I was of all of them because really they're all Teachers of the Year. And I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that. and say thank you, that they're valued and appreciated, as is all our staff, because secretaries, custodians, everyone has a part to play in making this a great place. So just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can I add one more thing? I just thought of it when you said event. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that on Friday night I attended the mini Relay for Life at Clinton Township Middle School, and I know Michelle Cresty was there and Maria Grant was there, along with our students, our children. And I just wanted to recognize Mrs. Cormican, who does a fabulous job of organizing the event this year. The students raised over $30,000 for cancer again, which is very impressive. And I would love to invite them to come and speak to the board. They had a very entertaining video that I'm sure the board would love to see on how they marketed the event. And it was just a really wonderful night.
Thank you. I would love to see that. Okay, any additional new business from members of the board? Okay, moving on, we have the second recognition of the public. This is an additional opportunity for anyone from the public to speak to the board on any topic. It doesn't have to be on the agenda. Anybody? Any takers tonight? Nobody tonight? So I'm seeking a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
And a second. That's by Rachel. And a second.
Second.
Maria? Thank you for coming. We appreciate you coming out tonight, and the meeting's adjourned.
Kevin,
don't we have to vote on the adjournment?
Vote on the adjournment. We need to do a voice vote, don't we?
Don't we?
Yeah, probably.
We need to vote on the adjournment.
It's not on the
Yeah, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. The meeting is adjourned.